Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. And this is our fourth study in the Gospel of Luke. We come to chapter 4 and we begin our study in verse 14. And Lord, we ask that you would add your blessing to the word that we're about to study in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke 4:14. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee. And a report concerning him went out through all the surrounding country. After defeating the devil and remaining true to God through tough temptations, Jesus returns in the power of the Holy Spirit. Verse 15, it says, "And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all." This was sort of like a honeymoon period for Jesus and his ministry. He has not really blasted the religious leaders for their hypocrisy or their unscriptural tradition yet. The Bible says he was praised by all, but it will not be by all for long once he starts pointing out sin. 16. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And he went to the synagogue, as his custom was, on the Sabbath day. And he stood up to read. People say, "I don't have to go to church. I can worship God in my fishing boat or on the golf course." Yes, but the primary purpose for fishing is to catch fish. And the primary purpose for golfing is to hit the ball. And God deserves to have some time set aside for him when the primary purpose is to worship him. Jesus went to the synagogue, as was his custom. 17. And there was given to him the book of the prophet Isaiah. He opened the book and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed." In 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4, the Bible says, "But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded." Satan blinds the spiritual eyes of those who are headed for hell. They would be jolted into reality if he did not blind them. They would be jolted into repentance if he did not blind them. That's why it's so important to pray for them and to give them the Word of God. Because if they want truth, God will remove their blindness. And Jesus came to give light and freedom to the spiritual slaves and the spiritually blind. Verse 19, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Jesus came to announce God's amnesty program. Forgiveness for anyone who repents and receives Christ. It is the time of God's favor. 20, and he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Verses 18 and 19 were Old Testament quotes of what the Messiah will say when he comes on the scene. So now the people are waiting for Jesus to say something like, "Yes, someday the Messiah will be here. And if he says that, well, everything will be fine." But he will not say that. Notice 21. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." In other words, "I'm the one the prophet said would say these things." In other words, "I'm your Messiah." The leadership back in those days had reduced God to a religious system. Christ has just brought God out of the realm of theory and into reality, right where they are. He is talking about what God is doing now. And that's going to make them feel real uncomfortable, because they like having God in their little religious box that they think they can control. 22. Look at this. And all spoke well of him and wondered at the gracious words words which proceeded out of his mouth, and they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" You know, they started thinking, well, wait a minute. We can't be impressed with this man because he's from here. And besides, he's just a carpenter, the son of a carpenter. 23. And he said to them, "Doubtless you will say, or you will quote me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.'" The proverb means, if you are a doctor who says you can cure me of hiccups, then why do you have hiccups? Heal yourself, and then I will listen to you. And so, he said to them, "Doubtless you will quote to me this proverb, 'Physician, heal yourself.' What we have heard you did at Capernaum, do here also in your own country." In other words, Jesus, you have a reputation for doing miracles in other places. Well, take care of things here in your hometown. Do some miracles here, and we will believe that you are the Messiah. 24. And he said, "Truly I say to you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country." Jesus could do a ton of miracles. The people in Nazareth knew his family. They knew Jesus since he was a little boy. And they were too proud to be taught by him. They were too proud to be taught by one of their own. They were envious of his wisdom. Because, you know, if Jesus is that smart and that spiritual, then they haven't progressed as much as him, and they can't handle that thought. Verse 25. "But in truth, I tell you, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when there came a great famine over all the land, and Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow." Elijah, a great Old Testament prophet of God, wasn't sent by the Lord to help any Israelite during the bad famine of his day. God sent him to a foreign widow outside the borders of Israel. 27. "And there were many lepers in Israel in the time of the prophet Elisha, and none of them was cleansed but only Naaman, the Syrian. In the days of Elisha, the prophet, there were many lepers in Israel, but God did not heal any of them. He healed a Syrian soldier instead. There was a great rebellion among God's people in the days of Elijah and Elisha. And that's why God blessed outsiders. God loves to bless, and he will not be denied the joy he receives from doing it simply because his people remove themselves from the place of blessing through their disobedience. He'll bless outsiders then. 28. "And when they heard this, all in the synagogue were filled with wrath." Sure, they were furious. By his two stories, Jesus was saying that they were as stubborn and rebellious as the Israelites back in the days of Elijah and Elisha. And those Old Testament rebellious Israelites did not receive any special miracles, and neither will the Israelites from Jesus' hometown in Nazareth. Verse 29. "And they rose up and put him out of the city and led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down headlong." And here you see the depravity of man. Jesus spoke the simple truth and they tried to kill him for it. Impenitent, sinful man hates truth. And if they are not stopped, they will put that hatred into action. Verse 30. "But passing through the midst of them, he went away. And it was not his time to die. So Jesus passed right through their hands." Verse 31. "And he went down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he was teaching them on the Sabbath." And so Nazareth's loss was Capernaum's gain. They did not want Christ in Nazareth, so he took his blessings to Capernaum. Verse 32. "And they were astonished at his teaching, for his word was with authority." Most teachers in the Lord's day tiptoed around the truth like dancing bear on Captain Kangaroo. Not Jesus. His words were convicting and moving. And it wasn't because he was a screamer, because he wasn't. His words were powerful because they were true. And he spoke them without apology. 33. And in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice. Verse 34. Ah, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. You bet that demon knew who Jesus was. He also knew he'd burn in hell one day. And he also knew that Jesus is the one who will send him there. And he is in a panic because he is afraid Christ will send him there right away. Verse 35. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And when the demon had thrown him down in the midst, he came out of him, having done him no harm. Notice how the demon tried to hurt the man before he left him. Shows once again Satan's hatred for man. Satan hates man. Satan doesn't tempt people because he wants to entertain them. The devil only wants to hurt, and he knows that if we sin, that is what will happen. We will hurt. 36. And they were all amazed and said to one another, "What is this word? For with authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out." They were amazed at Jesus' authority over demons. You know, the spiritual world is more mysterious than our physical world. I think everybody would agree to that. And that's why the people are even more amazed with Jesus' ability to command disembodied spirits around than they are with his miracles. 37. And reports of him went out into every place in the surrounding region. His power and teaching added up to popularity. The great kindness he showed the man who he delivered from Satan, and the power he showed by defeating Satan, caused a lot of excitement. Verse 38. And he arose and left the synagogue and entered Simon's house. Now Simon's mother-in-law was ill with a high fever, and they besought him for her. Luke was a medical doctor, and so he mentions that she had a high fever, and they asked Jesus to help because they cared about her. Verse 39. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she rose and served them. The fever wasn't alive any more than the wind and the waves that Jesus will calm were alive. But when the Creator speaks, the creation must obey, even if it's a virus or an infection that's causing a fever. Verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And the only reason they waited until sunset before they brought these people to Jesus is because the Sabbath day of rest ended at sunset. And notice how Jesus gave each one of the sick people a personal touch when he healed them. You know, you are not a number to God. You are an individual, a soul, created by him and for him, and he knows all about you. 41. And demons also came out of many, crying, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and would not allow them to speak because they knew that he was the Christ. Jesus would not allow any demon to speak in the presence of his followers. He would not let his people hear the voice of the devil. No information from any spirit other than the Spirit of God. No Christian should ever be a party to a seance or any kind of occult activity. There's no information given during those things that isn't demonic. We should not hear it. Verse 42. If it's legitimate information from the spirit realm. Verse 42. And when it was the day, he departed and went into a lonely place. And the people sought him and came to him and would have kept him from leaving them. They wanted to selfishly keep Jesus' ministry for their own enjoyment and their own benefit. Yeah, it's possible to be selfish with Jesus. Verse 43. But he said to them, I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other cities also, for I was sent for this purpose. And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. So the people in Capernaum thought that the work of Christ and the work that he did there was huge, much too important to set aside. But the truth is, while his work is important even in one person's life, each of us, like Capernaum, are just a tiny part of Jesus' work. He has work to do in a lot of people's lives all over the place. Others need to be blessed also. Other people need to hear the truth as well. Next time we'll pick up our study in chapter 5. Until next time, so long everyone.